Welcome to Couch Chats with Corey and Courtney, a podcast about getting local Kansas City artists on the couch to chat. Hello, 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 and welcome to Couch Chats with Corey and Courtney.
Hello.
I'm Corey.
I'm Courtney.
And today on the show, we have our good friend, Aaron Bates. Hello, Aaron.
Oh, hello.
Oh, hello. I have been so excited to have Aaron on the show because you've sort of been peripherally around me for a few years, but then now I'm like, I feel like we have been had the opportunity to say hello.
We're in it, Corey.
Like, we're in it.
Wait, in it.
Like, yeah. We are creating something.
Right. Isn't that crazy
yeah.
to say?
Yeah, which true. We are going to get to in a minute. But first question is sort of like the bio for yourself. How the hell did you get to the couch today?
Oh, my
and
gosh.
Tell us a little bit about you.
It's been a long journey to get all the way here to the couch today. So I probably, this journey started when, after I graduated college, I started playing piano for a high school in the area. This will all make sense eventually.
I love it.
Liberty High School. I was their accompanist and vocal coach. And
where'd you go to college?
Oh, I went to college at William Jewell College
up
in Liberty, Missouri. Yes.
Yes.
Critical Thinking College, TM. So I majored in music. I did overseas study in Oxford, so I was in Oxford and played piano and organ and sang in choirs over there. So I was the lead pianist for the Gilbert and Sullivan Society of Oxford University.
Okay.
So that should go straight underneath my name.
Absolutely.
Whenever. Yeah.
There should be initials for that.
GS.
Like, no, huge nerd. Just huge nerd. Like, find that place where you could say
mm-hmm,
that.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to Jewell, and afterwards, I didn't really quite know what I wanted to do. So I started playing piano and vocal coaching at a high school in the area. Great work. It just wasn't quite what I wanted to be doing. I didn't want to be performing full time, and I didn't really have a draw to teaching. So I started applying for jobs and got a job at the Repertory Theater. Mm-hmm. It was foot in the door situation, but through that met Kyle, who's our director on Jesus Christ Superstar. Mm-hmm. So we eventually I convinced him that it'd be a really great idea for him to work with me on projects mm-hmm. because no, really, Kyle, I can play piano. I like it. It's going to be great. So I convinced him, which was, bless him. Ah, oh, bless him. But we worked together on his original show, Head. As a friend, the Fringe Festival, mm-hmm. and I wrote music and played.
Was
for that
16 or 17?
Oh my gosh, no,
before that. I was not, I didn't even have is.
2012?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Totally.
Wow.
Yeah. Or maybe
it might have been 11.
It was 11.
Yeah. Yes.
I apologize to my history.
These bangs are hiding decades worth of old lady piano playing. Yeah. So that was quite a while. I mean, we're going on, it's almost
eight
a decade
years,
we're
yeah.
coming in, up there on. So so we worked together on that. And then after that, which went actually really well, really great, successful friend show.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we started to work together on other projects. So we performed, we did Carousel together
mm-hmm.
at the Living Room. We did a couple of shows at the Living Room
mm-hmm.
and then moved couple shows over the rep, so I was music directing Christmas Carol. So I just kind of evolved into this pianist, musician, arts administrator.
I was going to say the badass you are.
Today, I mean, basically.
I mean, basically.
Go with it. So I was kind of exploring all of this stuff. And so I finished an MBA on the side because I actually didn't want to be doing the artistic side,
mm-hmm.
which is strange, but that's not where my leanings were going. So I finished my MBA, and then I was still doing this artistic work at the Repertory Theater. It just wasn't really working out
mm-hmm.
for me. And so then I actually left Kansas City and went to Naples,
mm-hmm.
Florida. Very glamorous.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see much of the beach, although we were 6 blocks away from
it.
Wow. Because we were working so much at this theater. So I was the general manager of a theater company. And that's actually, though, where my boss now found me and brought me back to Kansas City. So I work now with the Harem and Jewel series, which is a fine arts presenter mm-hmm. in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. We bring in classical performing artists, jazz musicians, really big names of classical, Broadway, jazz performing artists mm-hmm. for one night engagements in Kansas City.
Mm-hmm. And when did they bring you back?
They brought me back in 2014.
Great.
Yeah, so I've been back for now for 5 years, and I'm their associate executive director.
So cool.
Yeah, so that's what I do. And then I still play all over the place. I have a full-time church gig on Sunday mornings, so shout out to John Knox Presbyterian Kirk.
like John Knox, like John Knox Village?
Like, well, John Knox, like the Presbyterian fellow yeah. mm-hmm. who all the Presbyterian Scottish Kirks are mm-hmm. named after. Wow. But yes, so the same John Knox, but it's a church at 114th and Warnow.
Wow, mm-hmm. cool. And how long have you been with that church?
I've been with them for 4 years now in September, so.
Awesome. Did you work with churches prior to that? Was that ever on, like, your short list and stuff?
100%.
Yeah.
So, I grew up in a, like, really religious household, really, you know, spiritual background. My family is Southern Baptist, so I have all those really good Shaker Baptist hymns, yes. like, in the core of me. That's how I grew up. And so I've been actually playing in churches since I was 12.
That's so cool.
I've been, you know, 40 since I was 14, that type of kind of person. So that's always been a part of who I am, regardless of how my journey's gone. It's always been a part of me wanting to give back, to continue that, gosh, I don't know, that gift people have given
that
to me.
It, forward of,
it
yeah.
is. It is of, like, you know, the people who invested in me and put faith in me and gave me respect as a young person.
Yeah.
They were able, you know, that has led my musical journey.
Yeah.
Would you say that, you know, around 12, that's really when you sort of started to develop your love for the music side, or was that way before?
You know, it probably was about then. I started playing piano when I was very young. So I was probably 8 and I liked it. But there came to a point in middle school where I wanted to quit everything. I hated everything about it. I mean, I wasn't dramatic at all. I like throwing myself over piano benches, sobbing. I can't practice anymore. My mom tells horror stories about just like cleaning up after dinner and I'm just sobbing at the piano bench.
Were your parents musical as well?
My mom and her sister sing. My dad is a music appreciator.
Awesome.
Yeah. And he's a very patient man to listen to my bad playing. But all through about that early time, it wasn't until probably about 5th or 6th grade when I had a friend who lived behind me, next door, I guess. He basically, I think, wanted an accompanist to, like, just sing songs. So
Like
a personal accompanist?
Yeah.
So he would throw...
You can be my Barry Manilow.
Exactly. He'd throw music at me. He's like, "Bet you can't play that." and so it became this challenge. So we spent hours and hours together, at least one summer before probably my 6th grade year. Mm-hmm. And I would just sight read. We just sight read musicals.
Yeah.
I mean, like, the core of the 90s, like, musical
sure.
expression. Mm-hmm. Like,
but what a fun way to, like, play and learn that craft.
It was the best training. I'll tell you, know, because you're just, like, you're sight reading and there's no one around to judge you. You've just
right.
got your friend there and you're just doing it for fun. So we would seriously spend hours doing that. So that's where all of that love came in. He is actually understudying Washington on the West End in Hamilton.
So he's done nothing.
So he clearly has not done much. Yeah.
Does he credit you in his bio as his original accompanist?
That's
because I would.
I need to put in. I need to put in for that. I think I probably should work with his management.
He only has like 28 characters, but you're like, but
yeah.
I'll get 10 of them.
However,
to give a shout out to my original diva.
His name is Aaron too. So we were the little clan, you know, and just we were not precocious or just difficult. Oh my gosh, can you imagine? Oh, the worst.
Well,
I know I am now as a 13-year-old. That's the worst.
I think a lot of us,
you
know,
parents.
I sort of look around and, you know, and I'll just sort of speak.
It's theater kids, right?
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I'll speak because we are right now in a room with, you know, about 17 to 19 amazing people, depending on the night.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of right now. And I look around, and there's, by this point, I'm lucky enough that I'm almost 34, hashtag like 10 days until my birthday or something.
Oh,
I love my birthday month. Like,
you do?
I do. Because birthdays are like, it's yours.
Yeah.
Like, other people can share that date, but like, that's your day.
It is your
you know?
Day.
And it doesn't have to be about getting like gifts, and it doesn't, it's not that. It's just like, you fucking did another revolution around the sun.
You
like,
did.
You have
you
to reward
it.
That. I know. Because there are some times that I'm just like, I don't know if I'm gonna make it till tomorrow, motherfucker.
Yeah,
you know. But anyway, so
oh,
I,
you too.
So we've gotten to know a lot of the people in that room, except even some of, well, actually, the newbies I don't know because we've gained four people, I think, in the last week.
Bless.
But I think that all of us are little dorks in there. Like, I see that. I see, like, the Chiomas. I see the Matt Richardsons. I see the Alcorns. I see the Utahs. And I'm like, I know all of us were just sitting around singing show tunes at 10 years old
100%.
Like, we're all those people.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. And it's that, like, core of I know who I am. I know who I am, and I love this weird thing.
Right.
And I am in. I am in for it, and are you? Okay, great. We can, like, totally be here.
One of my favorite questions to ask sort of theater people internally is, do you remember that first time that you stood around a piano with, like, a cast in the group and sang something? You know, like, I remember it. It was 14 years old.
What was it, Corey?
It was Seasons of Love from Rent.
Yes!
In the summer of 2001. Like, I know it, I see it, and I was like, oh, I'm going to be standing around the piano singing for the rest of my life.
Yeah, this is me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, so it's, I don't know the year, my musical theater gurus, but Aida, Elaborate Lives, with my cohort, Aaron, we would, that was it.
I think that's probably around 2000, 2001, too.
Sure, about that time, yeah, we're a similar age, Corey. Mm.
And I fell in love with Aida only because of Rent and the transfer over
exactly,
of Adam Askell.
Exactly, exactly, yeah. Incredible time.
Yeah.
Hilarious. Yeah. So it's those kind of most, I mean,
is it?
Yeah. It's where it is.
Yeah.
All of those six chords.
I happen to love that musical a lot. And I think it's probably my mom who is listening to this. It's probably one of her favorite musicals.
Oh yeah.
As well. Because, you know, whenever you're young, like, any new musical is, like, the one that you have to learn, like, every, you know, because you're just trying to be cool.
Yes.
And, like, Aida rolled out, and it was me and my mom in a car, and I would just, it's all
you're
we listened to.
You're singing every note.
Everything, you know, like, I remember, like, being in line at Taco Bell, like, just.
Do you remember being, like, stop it with this? Because Violet tells me to stop it now, where she's like, we have to listen to Hamilton one more time, lady. What's the matter
hey,
with
kid.
You?
This is an education.
Right?
My
You're
parents
welcome.
Are beautifully dorky, just like myself. They never turned off
well, I am
any
too, but I don't know if my kids are dorks. That's the problem. Violet's going to be my something else. She's going to be like some sort of neuroscientist and never understand, like, what we're just, like, you weirdo artist people.
That's
going
to be
get.
An appreciator, though.
Maybe. Yeah.
You'll get that kid somewhere.
We'll introduce
fine.
Her to Aaron's father. So
yeah, yes. There you go.
Side by side.
Tommy,
yeah,
you're all right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yes,
my
exactly.
gosh, yeah.
Oh
yeah,
my
Iz
gosh.
Will be in it thickly, but Violet.
Oh, yeah. I can. I yeah. Yes.
She
I see
came
it.
Out of that because we had her, she was standing in for Tori during some staging stuff. Kyle was like, come here, stand here.
Mm-hmm.
And she was just like, really? And then she came out.
And
like,
she's getting
oh, I was in
every
rehearsal.
Single cue.
Yeah.
And she's following along. And she could probably, you know, 6 weeks down the line, probably still do it. I mean, like, that
it's because that,
is glorious.
That child brain. It hasn't been messed up.
It
at all.
Well,
I have two other little friends, my friend Sarah and Craig's kids, Grayson and Ari, like, they are still, like, they will remember lines and music from, like, one a show we did, like, 8 years ago, and I'm just like, you have not fucked up that brain
yeah.
at
you
all.
Just keep it.
Yeah, you're still keep holding it. On to that.
Live your lives there.
But then I know every word to music,
see,
still
okay,
from being, like,
me
five.
Too, me too,
so.
I will memorize musicals, and that is the thing, like, I wish that there was some type of trivia competition because I have a secret. It's not so secret, but I have a secret skill that is like name a line. I will give you the next four verses. Like
really?
I love it so much.
Are you up to date? Like do you still do it now to where you could take on?
You know, if I hear it, I'm an auditory learner, which is very helpful for my profession.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how I get it. If I hear it once or twice, or if it's something that I'm, you know, like really seriously listening to, like I'll in a minute
You would be a great accompanist just to have around all the time.
Thank you. Yeah. You know, maybe you should hire me more.
Mm-hmm. Hey!
We will.
We
also might need to create a musical trivia night.
Oh,
that's a thing
that
we should have, right?
Well, why couldn't we have it in between weeks of Jesus Christ Superstar here? It's like a small little hangout. Because we won't have seen each other enough.
No.
Clearly. Obviously. Yeah.
Obviously.
I mean, I'm in. Do you want me to start writing the questions now? Yeah,
perhaps,
is it probably
yes.
Right? Okay. All right.
Well, I think it would be unfair because you're so good to participate. So you
it's
must.
True.
You
must
have
can
control
I leave?
Be the host.
I can't like heckle though. You didn't know that, and then
you
just like start going on with like the millions of.
You should absolutely heckle. Yeah.
You dummies.
So this past weekend, we officially started Jesus Christ Superstar here at the Arts Asylum. Very exciting. We had an intensive back in April.
Mm-hmm.
Where we sort of just looked it over and we talked concepts and we were just super dorky and, you know, and seeing what
stood
it was all
around
about.
Stood around the piano and sang a musical.
Yeah, because from that day, those 3 days intensive till we started on Saturday, the show has changed. I mean, the cast has
it
changed,
has.
The show has changed. Mm-hmm. And I think that that is a really kind of cool thing that we are afforded to sort of play with it first before we had to sort of get
it's
it.
It's true, yeah. Well, and I think there's some of us involved in this process that it's like, we've all been talking about this for like, a year,
2 years.
at least, but really mm-hmm. there's like you, Kyle, the two of us, Nick, and Katie, who have been kind of talking about this for like a decade.
Oh my gosh.
like this like notion of like, because you guys played our grand opening.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's nuts to think about.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
When it was still very churchy, like here, you know,
yeah.
the space
well,
we didn't we didn't have like the
stained
glass stained covered
glass,
up.
Yeah.
And we were like, we should do a whole season in the beginning of all the like the classic, you know, we should do Children Meeting, we should do Godspell, we should do Superstar. And that was like what we had and then
do you want to do either of those other two?
Yeah,
just both.
Mm-hmm.
I love Children of Eden.
Oh, it's beautiful.
You know, I love that music.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Music well, Stephen Schwartz.
It's
yeah.
Stephen Schwartz. Mm-hmm. But he wrote songs for people in there that I still can't. I think I've worked on Children of Eden like 4 different times.
Oh my gosh.
I love it.
Yeah.
It is beautiful.
Were you involved in the crappy Piani production version?
No. I don't get involved in crappy production.
Well, none of us knew it was
crappy.
No, it was like, we have all the money in the world, we're going to rent the music hall.
He rented the music hall.
And then he
wait a second.
Yes.
This is theater
the
lore.
Yes.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
It's real.
When was that?
Summer of 10 or 11?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And that did not go well for a lot of people. And then
so,
he just left.
So I didn't really start in the world until about, like, December of 2010. I didn't really get into the Kansas City theater
mm-hmm.
scene until then. So that was, like, just right.
I love that you call it the lore.
It is theater lore.
Yeah.
That's legends.
Yeah.
It is
I've
legend.
Heard tell.
Yeah,
there are people who are still waiting to get paid.
We're still in that room.
So maybe I was involved and just haven't received my check yet.
You would know because we would have shut down the show. That would have been
the
moment.
The union shut down the show.
But I think it was because we all were sitting on the stage telling them they couldn't perform
Stop
until they paid us.
Stop it.
We are in a large legal
I'm getting anxious.
But
anyway,
I think that was a good lesson mm-hmm. for a lot of people in the city. On multiple levels.
Yeah.
Don't get bigger than your britches.
Well, yeah, but from that, the two performances they did have was really good.
Yeah?
Of that show. Because they had about 100 people on stage, so those stories...
And only about 50 in the audience, right?
Yeah! Well, musical is huge. Like,
oh, it's huge.
So
yeah.
Matt and I, my husband went and saw it, I think there was 15 people in the house.
Oh,
like,
my.
Like, and your musical... you're a musical!
The musical, like, who does that?
These four ushers
you.
Are, like,
oh,
people,
no.
Like, because they had to have a full staff there.
Of course
there.
They did, yeah, it's
oh,
the musical.
Man.
Oh my gosh.
Anyway, we'll do Children of Eden, and,
yes.
And maybe
just Godspell as a review. It has also beautiful music.
Yeah, it does.
Very weak storyline. For something that has a literal book to tell you what the storyline
mm-hmm.
should be,
mm-hmm.
it's questionable.
What is your favorite musical?
Oh, that's too hard.
What is your favorite musical before 1990?
Oh, no, that's too hard. Why would you do that? So I love Sondheim. I'll just start. Let me start with composers. I love Sondheim.
Uh-huh.
I think that I'm still impressed with the soul person composer. That I think that's why actually why Meredith Wilson is so impressive to
Music
me.
Music Man is the perfect musical.
It's
the perfect.
Do you hear that, Theater in the Park? I am so admiring of you. I think it's great. But I think that is so impressive to me. The single, you were writing in teams now, like generations of teams.
Yeah.
It's like the list is so long. Mm-hmm. But the sole person, the sole creative mind, that's bringing one thing is fascinating. It's not always perfect. Mm-hmm. And it has its own issues, but I'm always impressed by it. So,
but isn't that where some of the charm comes from though?
It is. I know. So Music Man's another huge one. I love the, you know, holy canon of Rodgers and Hammerstein, mm-hmm. like that Lerner and Lowe. Like I think that is foundational, mm-hmm. For, and I feel like, it's, we're not getting to the meat of those stories enough, that there is stuff to work out in all of that.
Yes.
And can be used. So I think performers, sometimes, not neglect, but they dismiss it as, oh, that's old. I don't like mm-hmm. how a soprano sings in that era, so
sure.
I'm not going to sing that. But I think that
it's
as
some
we,
of the best stuff.
It's beautiful. It's American tune, you
yeah.
know. And anyway, I could go on.
I know.
But those types of things, yeah.
I've talked about that, like once every quarter of the year, I need to have just like a musical theater podcast like night, you know, where we get like a
yeah.
bunch of us, you know, and
yeah,
really
yeah.
do sort of set up a microphone in the room and just. Geek out.
I mean.
Do
yeah.
what I think KCPT did a few years
I'm
ago
in.
With that Broadway, like, throughout the years, and take it in, like, 20-year chunks.
Yeah.
And just talk about
oh my gosh.
That stuff. Because sitting in 2019 or 2020, by that point that I want to maybe do that, like, it just, it changes so often. From the Hamiltons
yeah.
and the Hadestowns,
yeah.
or you go back to the Cinderellas and the Oklahomas.
Yeah.
And
right.
Some of those are still, I mean, obviously we have Oklahoma just... I think finished its revival or getting ready
yeah.
to close
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah.
So like they come back and I always
oh,
love
sure.
to talk about why they come back
mm-hmm.
and what why we're changing it and like
right.
redoing it but telling those stories have
why
to
is
be.
That story important now?
Yeah. Which yeah. is something I sort of also talk about the Disney remakes a little bit. About how why we are redoing those and they must be stories.
Live action?
Yeah.
The live action ones? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not necessarily that I think that they're all necessary. But I do think that the technology that we now have for film
mm-hmm.
allows for some of those things to exist.
Yeah, sure. And the new Lady and the Tramp one throws me, because A, I didn't know it was coming.
I didn't
Wait,
know that was
I,
coming either.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
No, and it's weird.
Okay.
Because it's like
but Hercules
dogs.
Musical, I'm pretty excited
oh,
about
yeah.
this
sure.
Because by
good.
Far, that is like... the best Disney movie in existence.
Well, it was supposed to be a musical.
Yes, it was made to be
obviously.
A musical.
Obviously. Yes. Did Donny Osmond sang that Hercules? Is that right? Who sang it?
Roger Bart did Go the Distance.
Oh.
Interesting.
Donny Osmond is Ka, is the
oh, yeah.
from Mulan.
Oh,
yes.
And he's also mm-hmm. Joseph in that lovely... production of Joseph and the Amazing
obviously. No, okay, remember, when Tumblr was still a thing, there is a Tumblr of, like, bad wigs and Joseph musicals.
Tumblr's still a thing.
Okay, well...
But you have to dig a little deeper now.
Okay, well, but so go on, find that, because it is a joy to my heart. The bad wigs and Joseph musicals,
yeah,
because,
sure.
holy cow, oh, it's
There
it's
are a
so
significant
good.
Amount of bad wigs in general. Like,
yeah.
just... Out, I'm going to throw that out there, that, like, if you don't know how to put on a wig, just don't. And then if you don't know how to spend more than $10 on it, also don't. Like, just don't. Because there are some
If it's
really,
coming out of a bag
right,
at
or at least
City.
Learn about...
And you got to do
well,
the
right,
shape.
Yeah,
Where's
yeah.
that lace front? It
yeah.
doesn't exist.
So,
have you ever thought about, like, wearing a wig, like, for fun? Like, I've thought, like,
it's too much work to do it right.
I
so
mean,
no.
Yeah.
That's my thing.
I just would love for, like, a week to just change my hair.
I don't know how
day.
I'm gonna get these signature bangs in any color.
How long have you had those signature bangs?
Oh, my God. I've had a bowl cut since I was about 3.
Yeah.
So. Mm-hmm.
So about 3.
So since I was about 3, yeah. Solid, you know, triple decade situation.
Yeah.
How old are you?
I am about to be 35.
Wow.
Half decade. Halloween is my birthday.
Really?
We can celebrate
just
together.
On Halloween?
Yeah.
That's the greatest and worst thing probably ever, huh?
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
No, I love it.
Do you think that being born at that time of year, like, changes, like, molds who you are? Like, having a Halloween birthday?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Astrology stuff matters anyway.
Yeah. I just feel like people who are born, like, on those holidays almost have to adorn some of the feelings and responsibilities of that.
I think that's true. I mean, I think seasonally, you know, because it also hits how you hit in school and all of that business. So
did you ever get to have, like, just a princess birthday, or was it always Halloween?
No, I never did. I never had a costume party till I was, like, 31 years old.
Oh,
do you want one for your 35th?
Obviously, I do. Clearly. I mean, I will wear a costume every year because it's my birthday.
Right.
But I didn't have a costume party until I was much older. Because my folks, they were just like, you need to have a birthday.
Mm-hmm.
It's very important.
Right.
And my family, actually, my extended family has a lot of holiday birthdays. Mm. Groundhog's Day, Father's Day, New Year's Day, Christmas Day, Veterans Day. You know, I mean, like, crazy amount of birthdays in our family. So they would always want them to, you know, be a birthday.
Yeah.
So, I mean, every year I'd go trick-or-treating. Like, that would be the thing we do. And my mom always made these elaborate costumes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how I got to be this dramatic theater kid. But you see it?
I've seen it.
So I don't know. I you know, the 31 or whatever is about when I had that first one.
I'm so nervous I'm going to make Violet. Because Violet's birthday, my oldest birthday is, like, 4 days after Christmas. And so that one I always do, like, very consciously separate the two so that she gets something. Because Christmas is, like, everybody's celebrating it.
Yeah.
Not everyone likes Halloween as much as I do, which I don't know what's wrong with them. But
clearly, I don't either.
But I'm afraid that I will push the Halloween on to Violet so much that she's going to grow up and just, like, hate it. Because I'm never going to let her have whatever birthday party she wants. I'm like, look, bitch, it's October.
Right.
That means pumpkins.
Violet is her own creature. So.
She is.
She is her own creature.
This is a side topic, but my oh, great. Well, that's why we're here.
Yeah. No, I mean, tangents are what this show is famous for.
Here we are. Well, my dad called me, and he was, like, kind of concerned about maybe a month ago. He's like, Erin, I really hate to tell you this. I'm really upset about it. They're going to try and change the date of Halloween. I was like, whoa, Dad, what?
They are? Because they want it to be on the weekends.
They want it to be on the weekends. He's like, I just don't agree with it.
No, I don't agree with it either.
I don't
because
either,
it's
Dad,
a,
you're
like,
right.
It's not just, it, there's a holiday. Right. Like, it's not just
so
Halloween.
You mean that it's called
All Hallows Eve?
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't work.
He's pretty against it. So.
Yeah.
But they're trying to do that for all of the holidays.
Here's the thing. You want to, like, make trick-or-treating day Saturday? That's great. That gives me plenty of time to prep my children's makeup and their costumes and their things, because I also maybe go a little overboard in the Halloween department.
Yeah. So what's your costume this year, then?
We do not know yet.
Oh.
Because...
Well, it's September.
I know. Right. Well, no. Normally, I have it nailed down by, like, August.
Oh, okay. All right.
But...
Yeah, me too.
We're going to Disney just before... Because it's Violet's 5th birthday, so we're taking everybody to Disney. 40. Yeah. And I just turned 40, and Alex and I.
Congratulations.
Yeah, Alex and I have our 15th anniversary. Like, it's a, and right, my oldest is turning 18 this year, so, like, we're just going all out. And so there's, like, a, do we wait and see what we might get there?
Mm-hmm.
They have other plans that maybe, like, fall back, but we're not 100% sure.
All right.
Normally,
will you wear
I have costumes
at Disney.
Down. Yes, because we're going to Mickey's Halloween party.
Obviously, you are.
Obviously, we're going to go trick or treating on Main Street USA.
Do you know who you're going to be for that?
Well, we've talked about the fact that we would this. It's like the Halloween parties are the ones that you can wear costumes, which you can't do normally in Disney.
Mm-hmm.
There's still regulations, but we're still going to be, like, in the parks. So I think we've talked, like, so I don't want to be, like, in, like, full out, like, you know, I have to go on a ride and I'm in, like, a ball gown. Right. Don't want that. So we're thinking of maybe just doing, like, picking our favorite villain and doing, like, a t-shirt ears combo.
Yes. Okay.
Perhaps. Where there was talk at one point, because there's the right amount of us, that we were going to be all the Inside Out characters, and then Coco was going to be Bing Bong.
Oh,
so,
my gosh.
I mean, obviously.
Oh, yeah, because I'm going on that trip with
you. Yes. Yeah.
No, I am.
Yes. She said family, I just assumed.
Yeah. Because we've been talking about this for a couple of years, in some ways, and I was like, listen, the first time that, like, Isabel walks into that place, I'll pay. I'll just be there that day. You know, I just want to be there.
I'll just stand there.
Yeah, she's not, it's funny, because she's very, like, emotionally in touch with people, and very kind, and just a special kid, but, like, she's not very emotional, like, she doesn't cry at a lot of things. Like, she'll look at me and be like, why are you crying? And I'm like, because it's so good. And she's like, cut it out. I'm like, okay. But she knows that, like, this time, I'm like, you know that I'm probably just gonna, like, have to sit and weep for a while, like, watching you walk in. And she was like, I think I'm gonna cry too. And I was like, I think you are.
Well, it is I mean, I just got back from Disneyland, you know, hashtag I'm obsessed. And, like, literally watching Mickey Mouse just walk around in that world is so real.
Yeah. In, like, the photo, everyone will note that Coco has on a Mickey shirt right now.
I do. It's dry.
Verified.
It was very rainy today. We were recording on Monday. This airs on Thursday, but it was very rainy. And so Courtney and I, today's photo is in Arts Asylum merch.
This is promo. You can buy those for...
We still all match.
We do all
$35.
Match. You can buy these pants for $35.
Right, exactly. But we all match on accident now because
That's right.
Yeah, pretty amazing. So I want to talk a little about Jesus Christ.
Oh, sorry. Yes, that's right. Is that why we're actually... okay, great.
But you are the official kickoff of all of our guests now through it.
That's
are all... parts of Jesus Christ.
So do you hear that, guys? You have to live up to this.
That's right.
No one will.
No
like,
one will.
We're actually just going to cancel couch shouts after
terrific.
This.
Terrific. Great. That's great.
Is this your first time on Jesus Christ Superstar, like, ever working on the show?
It is my first time, doing this musical professionally. And my probably 4,500th time playing it to myself in my living room.
Sure.
So, it's my first performance of this, though.
What drew you to want to do this project?
You know, my mom and her singing sisters,
The singing sisters.
They're lovely. She and her sisters would listen to this LP. And so they had this album, and I remember as a kid, you know, going through our racks of, you know, vinyl albums, and we would, I'd pick one out, and it would be this one. I don't know if it was because of the material of the cover is actually, it's not glossy, so I think it would, I don't know, just be the one I pulled out, and we'd listen to it all the time. And so it's always kind of been with me, this specific piece. And it's just kind of been ingrained. I mean, it's a rock opera, so this thing tells the full story. You don't have, you know, there's nothing in between that you have to figure out. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what it is.
Jesus Christ Superstar is one of those pieces that I evidently, peripherally is my word today, but so I'm going to keep using it. I swear it's not on my e-card that I have to learn today. It is a show that I've never got to ever work on before. It's always, like, whenever it happened way back in the day, whenever I was in, like, at least I'm in community theater, it was choosing between Jesus Christ Superstar and, like, Bye Bye Birdie. And I was like, well, Bye Bye Birdie sounds like more fun, you know, at that point. Like, so it was always the other show. It just happened, like, two or three times that I chose not to do. And, of course, I like to sit around sometimes and go inside of my brain and figure out why the cosmos aligned things. And I'm like, well, because the first time that I really get to touch this should be with this band of weirdos.
Yeah.
You know, it should be in the Merry space bands. That we created. It should be with people that we trust. It should be with our friends and family. And it's a kick-ass little musical. I mean, for those listeners who don't know it, like, you can't help but get invested in these.
Yeah.
I'm excited about the people who get to sit on the set.
Like, oh my gosh.
But in my
do they know that yet?
Some of them know that.
Well, I mean, it's
when
on
you
the ticket
buy the tickets.
Link.
But
yeah.
a lot of my friends have purchased those immersive
tickets. Seats, and they don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could not be somebody who does that because I will sing along. No matter what the scenario.
But I think that is a fear that I mean,
not
I don't
know
if that's like something that won't happen though. So we're
yeah.
going
100%.
So we're gonna have to figure out how we.
I think you should have a night where it's a sing along.
It's
night.
A sing along night. Yeah.
I mean, I yes
yes.
Let's mm-hmm. do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like let's just bring him in October 13th.
Okay.
Ah, that's a good day for that. I think that's a Sunday.
It is a Sunday.
It is a Sunday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then Nick and Jessica literally get married like 6 years
they
years
could.
Later.
They could. They're going to.
I
know. We do have. We have a terrific cast. I don't know how much. I guess I'm the first one. So.
Yeah. The
right.
only
yeah.
thing we haven't told people is who's playing who. But
oh,
we
great.
Are more than
we
welcome
won't.
To talk about
I mean,
who's all in it.
I'll just in general.
Yeah.
They are just a. They're so invested, engaged. They, on top of which, are mind-blowingly talented. Mm. They will sing for days.
And humble.
Humble. Mm. That's the third point.
Okay,
is that
yeah.
these are the warmest, most genuine, kind people. So humble about their talent. I mean, there is not a single diva in this room.
Nope.
With the amount of talent, it's actually extraordinarily surprising that you don't have that.
Yeah.
But that actually, Kyle puts together teams like that. He puts together ensemble pieces. And every single show I've worked with him on has been an ensemble piece. It's never been, oh, well, you're playing Judas? Well,
mm-hmm.
then you're the lead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's never about that. So I've really appreciated that about him, finding value in every single person.
Yeah.
'Cause we're building the story together. It's not, it's impossible for that single person to
right,
be the entire show.
Yeah.
It can't be.
Yeah.
And I think, definitely Kyle taking this on he is a great center point. He is the
mm-hmm.
perfect, like, apex of bringing, like, all of these weirdos together, you know? And I think that the people that came to this project both saw the creative team, definitely saw, I would hope, you know, where we're going to do it, you know, a safe place to create. Like, there are so many...
Mm-hmm.
My husband were talking about it, just like the boxes that you get to check where you're just like, oh, well, I do sort of want to work with Aaron and Kyle.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds cool. Oh, it is a kind of a co-production with Natalie and
mm-hmm.
Kyle and all them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. That, so it just all of a sudden was like, why wouldn't you want to come
yeah.
and play with us?
And listeners, that's what you should be asking yourself.
Yeah,
that's
but why wouldn't you want to? But I also think that the Asylum, you know... cosmically brings
mm-hmm.
the people to it that it is supposed
that
to.
That it needs in that moment.
Yeah.
yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there's, quick, tiny tangent. I did Full Monty earlier this year.
Yeah, yeah.
And I felt like everyone that I had in that show needed to do that show at that
mm-hmm.
time. And so I feel like everyone who has sort of landed, because we've had some cast changes with Jesus Christ Superstar, like, everyone who's in that room is wanting and able to tell that story.
Mm-hmm.
And the few people that we had to lose for whatever reasons, I hope that they get to come and, like, feel the magic and know that their energy is still in that room. They
yeah.
started it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, like,
yeah.
They were some of the originals, you know,
mm-hmm.
in there. And so I really hope that those people come and feel that, that for that one night that they're here, they're part of the show, too.
Totally
They're
true.
In that room.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I hear some of them still... in my ear, and I don't know if I will ever
not hear them.
Not hear
yeah,
them.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, and you are super fucking talented. I mean, I know that that's not humbling at all, but that is why I think we have placed you almost center stage up there.
Yeah.
Because you begin to be a pulse of the show before the show even starts.
My enthusiastic hair flipping
yes.
Is definitely still present and accounted for.
But it has
and
to be there, you know what
start.
I mean, boo? Like, it has
yeah.
to. Like, you are up there, you were the ringleader, and you've got Kyle out in the house, and, you know, the two of you with a little bit of Chris, you know, choreographing.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be... I
well,
can't
we hope
wait
so. That's what we're going for.
Because we literally open like in 3 weeks.
I know, it's so
yeah,
soon.
It so soon.
It's so soon. Yeah. Yeah.
I was doing
it's
that
so
quick
incredible.
Math and I was like, what date is it? It's the 26th already?
Mm-hmm.
Shit.
Well,
like,
we've worked 2 days.
Yes.
And we've staged, I mean, halfway through the first act.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It, I mean, we're working at breakneck lightning speed.
Yeah.
And so the time in April was really helpful to us because I you know, I'm playing two notes for these new cast members that have just joined us, and oh, that's their rehearsal. Good job. Really great. If you need anything, you let me know.
Well, luckily, this show is one that everybody knows, too, so it's, like, the whole, like, notion that everybody arrived off book, and it's kind of, like, I remember talking to Justin where he was just like, great, I'm off book. What part do you want me to play? Like, I've been singing this for my whole life. But, you know, it's just like, what do you want from me? I can sing all the parts, do all the things. I mean, you know, because it's music that everybody knows, so, and it's a story that everyone knows.
Sure.
I think that the audiences will get a new take on that story, as I believe we said earlier when we were not recording, that's Kyle's MO.
Breaking the icon.
That's right.
But he's a great leader. I mean, you know, people leave energized and in a good way, tired. And I say that because I think everyone in that room is working, from the stage manager to the director to the media. Like, everyone, when they leave every night, it's only been two nights, but people have been like, all right, that was a workout. And it should be.
Oh, yeah.
It has to be. It's an epic, I hate that word, but it's an epic piece of art that we're putting up in there.
Totally true.
Do you like Weber's music? Do you...
I talked about this yesterday. I geek out so much for Andrew Lloyd Webber, and I shouldn't. I'm embarrassed by it, but actually, like, just kind of embraced it. Starlight Express, hello. Whistle Down the Wind, I mean. It's Andrew Lloyd Webber, as campy of a little Muppet as he is, bless him, he found a way in his musical leanings. I think this is the British, which we can go into later, but the idea of a tune, the tune and how it reaches into the human spirit, he has a line to it, like direct wherever it's coming from in humanity, he's got the line to it.
Yeah.
So if, and maybe that's commercialism, can't be sure, but he's got the line that's going to be able to pull that out of you, whatever that is. If that is, you know, one more time I get to hear that phrase that comes back one more time. You got all these leitmotifs that kind of are embedded in all of this layers of music. As simple as it is, it's six chords for the whole musical, six of them, and all mixed up in a lovely puzzle. But as simple as that is, the simplicity gets at something deeper. That goes really for really all that he's done. As glorious as A Beautiful Game, which is lovely, or The Beautiful
Game.
That's
the soccer one.
I mean.
Okay. Did he do the frogs too?
He didn't. That was, wasn't that Sondheim?
It might have been.
Yeah. No. And I say that. He has had some the outrageous flops.
Yeah.
I mean,
but I own all of those discs.
Outrageous. Yep. Oh, do you? A Woman in White?
Oh, wait, that's a two-disc one.
I know.
I don't know if you know that.
I mean, extraordinary. But then this is like pillar of the musical theater scene from the 70s to the 80s until Sondheim takes over. So he's a fascinating person. So I love the music. I think there is something true and beautiful about it all. Mm-hmm. And it causes you to pay attention because of the simplicity of how it's being presented. Uh-huh. So.
And I've had, over my years of conversations, you know, because people are like, I think you sort of mentioned it earlier, people are like, that's Weber, that's Sondheim, you know, like, who cares?
Yeah.
And they're like, and I'm like, okay, well, why? And they talk about because of that they repeat, and there's nothing really original, you know, coming out of that. And I'm like, but there are phrases that I say daily.
Yeah.
So why can't someone, like a composer, use, you know, they all of a sudden become your iconic phrases that you say. So why can't Weber, in a musical, show us the same feeling and the same music in a different part of these people's track to realize that maybe sometimes it was really happy and now those same eight notes or whatever are sad. But more I talk about it, even bigger to the novice musical theater person, because then all of a sudden it makes them more comfortable with the piece. They hear it a couple of times, and usually that's the beauty of an overture too, is that you get to hear it. But there are people who then get to come back and say, oh God, that sounds familiar. Okay, I'm already more connected to the piece, even if it's just that I heard those six notes or whatever in the opening.
Exactly. So I
just wanted to implement what you said, which is real, that it does really sort of connect you to it. And I do feel that's something that we've lost in some of the newer musicals, in some ways of me being like, I left, but I wasn't tapping my toe, and I wasn't singing anything, and I think that's because I wasn't hit over the head, right, like Sondheim and Weber
with the zune.
With the zune. Yeah. Or whenever you hear Cats in Phantom, you know, or vice versa. Like, he was able to sort of...
I'm unfamiliar with those.
Yeah.
Which ones
are
those?
I know.
The thing is that people don't... I think that they have this, like, oh, it's Cats, you know? But I'm just like, but imagine, like, what modern theater... would be without the cow,
cats,
the cat.
Yeah.
I mean, sure,
I have before. I've imagined before.
Do you not like cats?
No, I really truly do have a fondness for really everything that he's done in some way or another. There is joy to find in all of it.
Yes.
But maybe minus The Beautiful Game.
Yes. Yeah.
Actually, that's not true. I changed my mind about that because there's that, there's Our Kind of Love is at the end of The Beautiful Game that they sang at the September 11th.
Yeah.
Not memorial service, but it was the initial service, like really fundraiser, I guess, like a call for action and arms. And it, like all of the shows on the West, not the West End, all the shows on Broadway came together and then it just transitioned over here. Mm-hmm. So The Beautiful Game, I found it.
Well, you have to have, I mean, you know, I'm sure that in 20 years people will be making fun of, well, no, I mean, Rent is 20 years old. You know, there's something corny about being like, let's listen to Seasons of Love. You know, but there's a Carpool Karaoke, right, where, for the Tonys, where, who's on it?
Glorious.
Lin-Manuel.
Who are the two in the backseat?
Yeah, there's three. I can't remember who else
in it,
but it's
Audra,
like Christy. Yes, Audra's in it.
They pick up Audra. I remember that.
Yeah.
Lin-Manuel. And they do the whole like, oh, like everybody has, like, that's just a moment. Like, you know, nobody wants, although I will say that, like, secretly without telling anyone, except now I'm telling everyone, my favorite song just ever written as Music of Nine. Like, just
really?
I will listen to it anytime.
Really?
Like, and it just is like, yeah, because that was my like gateway drug into theater. Like, that was the first show I saw professionally, and I was little and like in a balcony and just like, what is this? You know,
Phantom's my dad's story too.
Yes,
he would take me to sporting games, and I would not sit still.
Right.
I'd move around all the time. Chris, our New Year's Eve music hall, top row, Phantom of the Opera. I didn't move. And my dad was like, well.
Yeah, we're just like,
this is it.
Yeah.
He's 10 and he's old and he literally hasn't moved and it's Phantom.
Bless.
And it's the spectacle of it when you're little. Like I had done.
And the big organ music.
Yes.
I mean, like a huge, like.
Well, there was a swinging chandelier.
I mean, come on.
Right. And like, I think one production where it just looks like the boat is floating and there's all the like low level fog and you're just like, yes!
I love theater!
My husband and I went to England this summer, and we saw tons of theater, but so much theater. He's a scenic designer, but he has never seen The Phantom of the Opera, so on our last night there, that's what we saw.
Yes,
because you have to.
You have to. It's like,
You had to see it. And we had a great time, and it was just as campy and wonderful as we ever imagined it to be.
I almost went and saw Cats in Paris just because I was like, what do French kitties sound like?
Yeah. Just anyone who's new and doesn't know anything about theater, don't watch that trailer. It's terrible.
I'm excited for that trailer.
It's horrible.
It's the
CGI. I'm sorry. It's so scary.
Well, I'm not going into it thinking it's the musical Cats that I know
love.
I feel like they're going to try and put a plot line there, so I can't wait to see.
Boy, I can't.
What a garbage book that is. But
what book?
T.S. Eliot.
Yeah.
It's poetry.
I own that. I own the poetry book. But
right.
But combined, it's the combination.
Right.
Yeah.
But don't with that CGI. It scares the crap out of
it. It does make me nervous. Yeah.
So in our last 15 minutes, can you believe that we're already cooking through? You're a very fun guest. For our listeners who are just tuning in, we have Aaron Bates on the show, and we are talking about theater and Jesus Christ Superstar and kicking ass and taking names. Mm-hmm. So my first question is, what is your definition of real magic?
I know we got real right there for a minute.
Hold the phone. And also, I didn't know you had numbered questions coming on. Okay, real magic. In what context?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. To you, when you think of magic and real magic, what is that to you? I love people when they get stumped.
Yeah, you know, I think that I see real magic in like my day-to-day life. I see that as when you get a combination of personalities and spirit of people, of humanity in the room, and whatever room that is. I see it a lot of times through music, because I think that's how I connect to my world. Mm-hmm. So if the connection of people, with different backgrounds, different training, different experience, different heartache, different hurt in the world that's coming through, when I see people coming together to create something new, and something that they might all have individual connections with, but to create together, that's real magic to me.
See? Mm-hmm. And that, what a deliciously perfect answer. No, I'm serious.
That's what my report cards say too.
Well, no, because that's exactly right. Bringing people together is pretty damn magical.
That's from an introvert.
Mm-hmm. Would you consider yourself an introvert?
100%. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to be exhausted by the end of this process. Mm-hmm. That's usually what happens. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, this one's not quite as deep. You are a new addition to the crayon box. What color are you and why?
Cerulean.
Yes, you are.
Because of the X-Files.
Fair.
The X-Files. I would have gone Devil Wears Prada, so.
I mean, it's by far my favorite color in the mm-hmm. box. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say the word that everyone wants to mm-hmm. know how you say it. Mm-hmm. Crayon mm-hmm. is how I say that.
Yeah.
Hesitantly. Mm-hmm. But
I had to train myself not to call them crowns.
Crowns. Mm-hmm. So I would always pick that first.
Mm-hmm.
Cerulean. Yeah. Cerulean.
Music director thing.
It
We've
must
had
be.
One other music director.
Cerulean. Is that Matt Richardson?
Stop it.
List his character name, but if you listen to his voice, you can figure it out.
Yes, you can. Cerulean blue, yes.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yes.
What is something that you were told that you could never do or do well that you have accomplished or in the process of accomplishing?
Oh my gosh. My same friend Aaron growing up, he said to me once, "That's okay, Aaron, one day you'll grow into your teeth."
Okay.
And so I'm in the process of doing that.
Have you had
right
braces?
Now? Oh, yes.
Because you have a stunning smile.
Oh, thanks.
That's
sorry,
the first
that's
thing,
that's
this
what
the
I
first
was
thing
about.
I notice about people is their smiles.
Oh, well.
For real. Other people got other shit, and I'm like, it's about the smile.
That's fair. Uh-huh. So that's what I'm working on. Mm-hmm. That's what I've been
You're
doing.
Working on growing into your
I'm
teeth.
I'm growing into my teeth, yeah.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Well, we found the title of this episode now.
Growing into my teeth. The Aaron Bates story. Yeah.
That's so real. Yeah. Oh my gosh, it's so
that
real.
That might be your second memoir.
Yeah.
Growing
oh,
into
yeah.
my teeth.
Oh my gosh, wouldn't it just?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Oh, that's
I've got
funny.
A list on my iPhone.
I own all of my teeth. All of my teeth are originals. I've had no cavities or anything.
I've seen your post about this.
Almost 34 years.
Click. That's good for you.
It's a lot of hard work from my dental team.
Yeah, your dental
my
team.
Dental
eh?
Team.
Yeah. Well, I've had the same people working on my teeth since I was born.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
And
you
were born with teeth, so.
I was born with teeth.
Sorry. Sorry, Tim.
Wait, that's what? Up.
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I
does
was,
that happen?
I was
it
over.
Does.
I was overly cooked.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, mm-hmm. my dental hygienist is my realtor as well, so she is multi-talented.
She is. Wow.
And she's doing a great job.
Does she have a great
Thanks,
smile?
Thanks, Sheila. Yes, she does.
Are you looking for a house currently?
No, we have one.
Perfect.
But I guess former realtor?
Mm-hmm. I'm
she
in the process of finding
get
a house, so
oh, well,
I've just begun the journey.
Let me, we'll get offline, I'll give you her name.
Yes. Ding, ship
you don't need a
smile.
Hygienist, though.
Yeah, I don't. Not until he retires.
That's funny. All right. What problem or situation did TV or movies make you think would be a much bigger deal in real life?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to say the obvious answer, which is sinkholes.
Oh.
Like, way obvious.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know. I feel like that's a thing that happened a lot in movies.
Yes.
And I thought it was going to be a much bigger issue than
and
it actually, actually is.
Yeah.
I need to maybe start using that one.
We've had some of the greatest answers to that question.
I've had some serious
We've
ones.
Had, like
what else?
Quicksand and sinkholes, that
yeah.
ones, you know, that sort of situation.
Or Seth people, Jones.
Rodents of
Seth Jones said the rapture.
The rapture.
Oh, God. Okay. All right. Also, I grew up Baptist, remember?
Whoa.
Oh, my God.
So he was like, I thought it was going to happen.
Any minute now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, actually,
the show
I agree
the
with
Leftovers.
Him.
And oh, that's what it's about.
Yeah, and Left Behind. Those books scar you for life.
Yeah.
Sinkholes and Jesus.
Sinkholes and Jesus. Also, well, I don't know. I'm really getting
too many
a long
titles,
list
people
of your memoirs.
Too many titles.
Sinkholes and Jesus.
Oh my gosh.
That is so fun. So you are invisible for 24 hours. What would you do? And teleportation is fine. You know, you don't have to worry about travel.
You just arrive wherever you need to be.
24 hours.
Oh man, I would travel all over the place. I mean, swim the Amazon. I don't know. I mean, I would like do something extravagant.
Yeah.
Like if I can transport myself. I have a question.
Answer.
Cold heat, is that a
You're
factor?
Fine.
Okay,
no,
so I would also
there.
Like maybe go to the Arctic.
Mm.
I'd be very interested.
I would love to see like the northest point.
Yes.
Like it. Like what is supposed to be at the top of the globe, but it's not.
I know. I'm fascinated by cold places. I don't like them. I don't like being cold, but I'm fascinated by it. Like exploration.
Mm-hmm. Franklin, swim the Amazon. That's a good one because you're invisible, so you wouldn't get bitten by
the piranhas.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's another one I was really majorly concerned about.
Is all
of piranhas in
that's
water.
That's valid, I think.
Yeah.
Sharks and lakes would have been another one.
Yeah, we've gotten quicksand.
I guess I have a lot of anxiety.
Mine was, you know, drug dealers on the side of the street. Drug dealers just giving me drugs.
Right.
Like, because
that
of the DARE program.
They
just throw free drugs.
Like some John Mulaney business. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm. Oh, goodness. What would your superhero power be?
I think that I would like to be able to... This is the one. This is the one that stumps me.
Uh-huh.
Say the right thing when I'm really mad.
Mm.
Like, I want to go straight. I want to go straight to it. I want it to be, this is the Scorpio in me. I want it to be cutting. I want it to be witty. And I want it to count.
Yes.
And I can never, ever do it.
I fail at that. Because
look,
every
you see
time.
These bangs? I mean, come on. And I'm such an internal processor that I'll think of the thing I need to say days later. And I'll say, aha! And that will be it. And it's definitely not.
Yep.
So that would be fantastic. That would be my superpower. That would be it.
What is the best piece of advice you can give to not like the next generation, but to the person who could walk into this room right now?
Anything.
Just that piece of advice. Someone says, Aaron, we need that piece of advice. What is it?
Be kind to each other. Listen. We gotta start listening.
Mm-hmm.
We gotta start listening. We gotta be people again.
I love that. I've changed that in my head because a lot of people want to like tell the next generation, and I, you know, like people are like, what advice would you give to the next generation? And I'm like, no. What do we need to tell each other?
And then also put down your phones.
Put down your phones. I saw that in a rehearsal report yesterday.
Isn't that nice?
Phones.
Yeah, it's great.
It's the only thing I agree about. Like, truthfully. No, I'm just like, phones that when you walk into a rehearsal room, the real world is gone.
Yeah.
For those 3 hours.
Yeah.
And I really learned, I will take it whenever I was back performing in Lacage, and it was our first time really being in the World Series, and everyone was on their phones about the World Series, and I was like, we are trying to be drag queens in, like, France here.
Right. You're
people,
trying so hard.
And you are telling me that you're talking about all of this stuff,
right.
And it just, the focus is gone, like, people are on their phones,
yeah.
Just all of that stuff, so I completely agree.
I think it's all combined. I mean, I think my advice of, you know, be kind to each other, we gotta listen, we gotta connect, and we're missing that connectivity, and I think that, you know, I was able to find that as a young person in music. You can have an iPad with your music now, but most of what you were doing was you and an instrument and you're playing, or you with other singers and you're singing.
Mm-hmm.
And you're all connecting through that. And you can't do that when you've got a part of you in another place.
Yeah.
So.
And that's hard because in 2019, we're all... Horcruxes almost. Like, we're all split up into 20 different places all the time.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But I think that the time that you're in, that you're creating, should be that.
Yeah.
And maybe that's just the artist in me. You know, I'm just, but I guess that happens all the time. You know, we don't have phones at our dinner table. Like, it's all of those
exactly.
things.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because it, you know, that's our face to face time.
Yeah.
Well, that was kind of our hour.
Yes.
amazing.
How exciting. So well, we did it.
We did.
Right. You don't have to air any of this.
No, we air all of it because you're incredible. So we always end on two questions. Anything that you didn't get to say or something you would like to do or shout out or pimp something or any, this is your last moment. Just to say, hey, listen up, bitches.
This is extraordinary. I don't really. I got to say everything.
Awesome.
I am so pleased to be here. I am thrilled to be a part of this production specifically. Excited to get some of the band back together, you know, in all the senses. I'm thrilled about it. I think it's going to be extraordinary and I can't wait.
I can't wait either. And then who should we have on the show? Who would you like to hear from? Who would bring you to come back and listen to the podcast to learn a little bit about?
Do you know Kate Hogan?
Yeah.
I love Kate Hogan. Yeah. We should have her on.
Has Kate Hogan been on this podcast?
She hasn't yet.
Okay, it's bring true. That, bring that girl in.
Kate. We're coming for you, Kate.
Kate Hogan, we are coming for you. Like, she'll have her mind blown when she comes back in here after.
It's true. She hasn't been here for a
while. She hasn't been
here
in a while.
Yeah. Kate, we can talk about Evita if you want me to come with you.
Yes.
What about Evita? Does she know
how to
do Evita arms?
No, we just sing through it with each other. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Usually mm-hmm. intoxicated.
Mm-hmm. That is the next sort of concert thing that I get my hands on. I want that. Mm-hmm. I want Evita.
Evita, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
Okay.
I think that that's...
I'm available.
I know. I would love to talk to you. I just think that Evita, that score is so fun. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, and the story of a woman...
All six chords.
What a woman has to do almost to be respected. Hmm. You know, and then... It's kind of, it's strange. Mm-hmm. That musical is strange because autobiography.
We might be on the anniversary of the Evita Arms episode.
We're close. Did you know people don't know what Evita Arms are? That's,
really?
Yeah.
We told somebody to Evita Arms and they did not know that reference.
Oh,
and
but they were in a theater person.
They were in a rehearsal on the stage. Just saying. Yeah. And I was like,
hold. Were they too young?
Nope.
That's not an excuse, I guess.
No.
Sorry,
so from that, I had to go to social media and be like, I'm going to need to know if people know what Evita arms are.
Right.
And finally, some, you know, hetero person was just like, well, isn't it just like the gay version of a field goal? And I was like, yes.
Yes.
You know, like, I was just like, they were like, this is the best way I can describe it. Isn't it like the gay version of a field goal? And I was like,
you're talking about my life, sir.
I was like, yes, life is a gay field goal. That's our second thing,
answer.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, thank you for being on the show. What a way to end, gay feelings. So this Thursday, this episode will air, and we will be almost through the first full week of rehearsals for Jesus Christ Superstar.
Yeah. Scary thought.
It is. Make sure you get your tickets. You can go to theartsasylum.org/JCSKC.
Correct.
We have three preview performances, September 19th, 20th, 21st. First performance on the 22nd, and we run through October 12th.
Yes.
It's going to be pretty exciting, people. Mm-hmm. Get your booties here.
Yep.
All right. We'll see you next time. Thanks again. Bye-bye.
And that was this week's episode of Couch Chats. Thanks so much for listening. Couch Chats is available locally on KOJH 104.7. And also on iTunes. Remember, that's Couch with a K. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this episode are solely those of Couch Chats, not the Arts Asylum, KOJH, or Mutual Musicians Foundation. Thanks again for listening, and please remember to rate, review, and subscribe, as well as follow us on Instagram. Tune in next week to see who we have on the couch.